Shadows are getting shorter? I don't know. The days are getting longer.
No, the days are getting shorter. What is your problem?
No, they are. The days are getting longer. We've passed the shortest day of the year. They're getting longer now.
Oh, wait. Yes. Sorry. What is my problem?
This intro sucks. Let's do it over.
I got this. It's now. Let it go. It's fine. We don't do multiple takes.
I know. Done.
That's not who we are.
Starting to end. Days are getting longer, which means the shadows are getting, they have to be getting something. Shorter? Longer?
Yes. The shadows are getting there. Something.
And we're rapidly pulling away from the cold darkness of winter. At least I am. The rest of you, do what you want to do. Happy to see you. Binary Jazz Podcast. Your friends, Chris, Allison, Gary. This is
episode two of 2020. Which if you're keeping
it's not
track
episode
in
two.
Which if you're keeping not track in 10. Binary. It's episode 1001110, which I know all of you are keeping track in binary.
I don't even know if I can anymore.
Yeah, I've lost. If I didn't keep track of like the current episode number and like the next episode numbers, I would not know. Like I can add one, but I don't know that I would be able to calculate.
You can carry the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I was learning from it, but I'm not. The binary
like, jazz. It's a lot of ones and zeros.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Buddha. Okay. Well,
So it's been a year, right?
No, it's been a week. We have an episode that went
it's quite
last
the year.
Week. Oh.
Since yes. We last met, yes.
It's been a year, yes. We won't talk about that. We don't talk about current events in this show. We avoid current events as much as possible.
To that end, I have been avoiding the Twitter and news. And
your life has been much happier as a result?
Not really, no. But that's just because personal shit's happened. So, it's equaled out. It would be sadder were I following the news and Twitter.
Yeah.
You're also missing out on the quality content that I put out on my Twitter.
That has been quality content lately. Yeah.
It's so random.
Has it?
Yeah. No, it's so random. You're not missing out on anything.
No, it's good.
That's pretty much what Twitter's
random,
for, though, right?
It's the random I'm here for.
You know, it's like the random ramblings of tarot and the importance of cheese. And
yeah.
Just, ooh, there's like cheese.
There's nothing good in there.
It's everything good in there.
It's $5 sushi on Wednesdays at my local grocer. So Ron and the kids
grocery
were doing
store
the kids
sushi
like,
though,
but in Florida it might be different.
Nope, still pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a grocery store and I had grocery store sushi, and I worked at Whole Foods and had a Whole Foods. Did I? No, I don't know. I did work. I mean, I did work at Whole Foods. I wasn't questioning that. But I've worked at grocery stores and I've had grocery store sushi as a result, and it's. I mean, it's okay.
So this
on a
one,
lunch break, I guess, and then
yeah, that's what it is. This, I mean, a guy comes in like. Pops it in the counter and rolls it and puts it out there. Like, it's not like it's brought in by truck, but it's also not the best I've ever had. It's fine.
$5.
It's sitting there all day, which I think is the problem. Like, if you get it when it's fresh, it's good. But if you get it, like, at the end of the day.
Well, you may note that I said that it's $5 on Wednesday, which means it was purchased yesterday. So I had it in the fridge until today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had it for lunch. It was good. It's better than, like, a tuna sandwich or peanut butter and honey sandwich or
nothing. I would like to say
honey sandwich.
That yesterday I had a dream and a craving for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I made that dream happen.
You're right. 2020 is not so
way
bad.
To go.
I am achieving goals.
taking your life by the horns. I don't know what that.
It was great.
So, refers to like wrangling bulls or something.
So this is interesting. This is dumb. It's interesting, nonetheless. I'm facing east, and my face, because of the sun... Oh, no, wait. Shit, that doesn't tell me anything. The sun's over there. Never mind. Proceed.
It's not interesting at all.
I'm facing south.
That was what I was going to say, is the sun is hitting the side of my face, but it's also hitting the opposite side of Allison's face. But I actually don't know what direction she's facing, because the window could be anywhere. You're facing south, which means
maybe there isn't even a window. Yeah,
you're like that way.
Maybe it's just my sad lamp.
Yeah, it could be. And probably is, actually.
No, I think it's natural light. It's a window.
Like, I'm just living in darkness. My sad lamp is actually over here somewhere. This, actually. I was gonna do that without looking, and then I was like, watch me knock this over.
Yeah. And then you have this, like, $50 lamp that's broken.
Yeah, I'm like, the true meaning of the sad lamp.
Yeah, right. It's a sad, sad lamp.
Also wearing socks and have to navigate the broken glass.
Yeah.
If it matters, I'm facing west. Ish.
So that's how so are you weird. Even?
No, I'm facing east. This is east. That's east right there.
Okay, that makes sense. I was going to say, Chris, if you're facing west, then our backs are facing each Australia. Other. And I feel like we need to turn around and face each other for this to work. Really, my back is facing Chris, though. So.
That seems about right for this podcast, too.
Yeah. It's legit.
It's like,
oh, hey, have you all seen that gif of Fry mooning, Chris, on Twitter?
I've only seen it when you send it to me on Twitter.
Not lately.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been more than a year.
Yeah.
Has it? Do you keep track of like when and the frequency of your Fry mooning gifs?
I'm surprised that's not a bot that's been.
Seriously, like Fry mooning Chris, the bot.
Every time Chris posts.
Every random number between like 1 and 50, if it's that day, then there's a Fry mooning Chris post.
I once worked at a web agency, as you all did, and we were rebuilding the company site, and I was tasked with working on the project, but there was actually nothing for me to do. Hmm. So there were no tickets, but I had like a day to work on the project. Like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know. So I decided that I would one of the concepts they had was a logo train. And so I spent the day adding mouse over effects to the logos to make train sounds. Except unless you were the social media person who also used the website. And if you were to roll over the logo train as a social media person, one time in 100, it would play a fart sound instead of a train sound. And as far as I know, that still exists. That site also had a flushing sound and a toilet emoji to flush the cache.
That I remember as well.
And that's what I did to help with the site. Like, come on. Here's some busy work.
I mean, so is the logo, does logo train make the train sound like when anybody hovers over it?
It was only on the admin side that it made the train sound. It would have been fun if I did it on the front end, but I did not. And
there were some Easter eggs that we had built into it.
This was like, I don't know what version it was, and I'm sure that version's gone now. I think it's gone now. So the best part was I was at my local meetup, and I was sitting in the back row, as you do when you're, you know, not interested in the topic, but feel that need to be there. So I was working on this, and I finally got the effect to work. So suddenly my laptop is blaring a train sound while someone else is giving their presentation. Yeah. Yep. Yep. The internet's cool. We should keep it.
I use the, for when I've been teaching HTML, CSS, and using perspective and different transform effects, and my students are always like, when will we ever need to use this? And I'm like, if you want an Easter egg for a card to flip, and I'm like, or any sort of game system, you'll end up having to know this. Just know that it exists. You don't need to know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just know that it's out there.
There's a perspective thing. So I took Wes Boss's CSS Grid class last week. This is way web devy, this episode. I took Wes Boss's CSS Grid class last week because I had nothing better to do, really. And there's an effect that he does in one of his like demos where he uses a perspective thing to show and hide a nav menu on mobile.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good use.
Yeah. So it's sort of like, so the menu will kind of appear and disappear, and it sort of like folds back and disappears. It's pretty neat.
I should redo that grid course. I feel like I knew enough to be dangerous, but now I feel like my comprehension of just the syntax of things, I would just get it more.
Things might have changed.
I'm so in a Flexbox world that I'm like.
Yeah, I wish for a Flexbox version of that class because I would like to know like the difference and like.
Doesn't he has a Flexbox one, doesn't he?
Does he? Does
I think he, it's I called mean, What the Flexbox.
What the Flexbox.
This is just turning into a big ad for Westbox.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'll have to look.
Okay, do you Wes. Find you learn best using like a multi-course video thing like that with like the in conjunction like I think in conjunction he always has like a spot to type, right? So you can try it yourself.
Either no, that or I think he has like a bundle of files that you can download and play.
Oh, right. That's right. You get a repo. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
what right. The Flexbox. It is indeed.
Do you find you learn best that way or
no,
do you find.
Absolutely not. Okay. However, right. I
it's the only way people provide information this time.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Jerks.
I have to learn by doing. It's.
Yeah. If I, okay, don't, I, feel, like, I feel better now that you said that. I felt like I was like weird, not able to understand these videos.
It's totally not my learning style. My learning style is doing. And so I will try to do it along with him when he's like going through and doing the code. I'll do it with him. And I feel like that kind of sort of solidifies things. And then I can pause it and I can play with it a little bit if I want to. But I do feel like I left that class with a fairly good understanding of CSS Grid. So
yeah,
that's legit.
My solution is generally like, oh, here's a working version of something kind of similar. Let's break it. What does this do? Yeah, I had to do that recently with a React thing, and I was pleasantly surprised at how effective I was able to get in there and move stuff around, which says a lot more about React than it does about Gary. React is very verbose, meaning really easy to figure out how to do things.
Or it your understanding of JavaScript is such that you can just apply those things to any framework.
Wouldn't that be cool if that were true?
It could be. That's the dream.
Yeah.
I also think Grid is fun to learn because they, on the creation end of it, have thought it out in a way that, for me at least, previous things like Flexbox had components that were a bit half-baked. And so CSS Grid, they've kind of taken the best of Flexbox and then like fixed what, and then so then when they rolled it out, it like was rolled out in completion rather than like, well, there's some weird things that you have to know.
Anyway. Thank you, Allison. I now have What the Flexbox in my course catalog.
You're welcome.
Appreciate Flex all that. I was actually like, I left that course and I was like, I wish there was more stuff about Flexbox so I could like do that too.
Yeah. Flexbox. Remember when we just had to float things?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I've been doing that like even like as recently as like several months ago. So like I like now can use this as an excuse to not do those horrible
things. Not float.
Yeah. Not float. My goal in life is to not float.
Wait. Float, what did I miss? In what sense?
In every sense.
In every sense. All that's senses. The goal.
Feet firmly attached to the ground.
Oh. Well, okay. Whatever.
Should I even introduce a topic this week? I don't
even
know.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So the topic this week is confabulation.
Confabulation.
Fab, short for fabricate. I think confabulate is to make up a lie.
Are you confabulating?
most assuredly.
It's this entire show.
confabulation. I mean, that's a legit, probably, definition, but I'm going to go with a confabulation is when you have a lot of something. It's like a description of quantity. It's like when you when it's too many things to count, you just have a confabulation of stuff. Like
I've definitely heard this word before.
Like after Christmas, we have a confabulation of crap that we need to clean up. I do think that I've heard this word before too, and I think that I probably should know what it is, but
We've all heard a lot of words before.
Yeah, and like, and I feel like just going with the idea that it means something that is not true feels too much like it's coming from like the word fabrication.
And I think it is.
That means that it is in my mind wrong.
Well, it's clearly not fabulous as the root word.
Because it's wrong because it's too easy.
Yeah.
Like, too straightforward.
Yeah.
Do you think I purposefully try to trick you?
Maybe.
I'm like, no, this one's too easy.
Well, now I'm not even sure. Now I'm floating. Apparently.
Well, obviously you need to take Wes Boss's CSS grid course, and then you will stop floating.
And then it's just like columns, rows, templates.
Is that what you mean by floating? Like literally like floating elements?
Yeah. Yeah, floating is bad. Oh.
Unless, I mean, there's like one use case where you're like, yeah, you float.
Would be a modal, right?
Modal? Maybe there's two use cases. I was just like, if you want text to wrap around an image, you float. That's like the reason for floats.
Couldn't you flexbox that?
Well, you can do anything with flexbox. But for a true wrap, but now you can do like CSS shapes with wrapping. Anyway, this is getting really dumb.
That's too nuts. That's way too much for me.
But like if you had like a really cool, anyway.
Yeah. That's fantastic though. I mean, like the tool set for in-browser presentation continues to get, I mean, just the toolkit just continues to grow. It's fantastic.
It's a confabulation of tools, one might say.
So many. Just so fabulous.
That doesn't make sense. That, no. Nope.
It totally makes sense. It's a confabulation.
No.
Not doing it.
I saw, speaking of not doing it, I saw a clip last night. I think it was in a Seth Meyers thing of George W. Bush, where he tried to open the locked door and then like got confused and couldn't open the door, and he continued to try to open the door, and I remembered how dumb he was when he was in office. But that's not the George Bush that said that not going to do it. That was his senior, but that just reminded me of that. And really, it wasn't George Bush Sr. that said it that much anyway. It was Dana Carvey pretending to be George Bush Sr., but that's, you know, an aside.
Isn't that the beauty of satire, though? Is like, now that's what we associate with HW.
Absolutely. Not gonna do it. 1,000 points a lot.
Those are the best impressions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when, in the post-Trump era, everybody will just think of Donald Trump as Alec Baldwin. I don't know that there will be a way to disassociate Donald Trump from Alec Baldwin, partially because it's the quantity of content now. It's been like almost every week there's been an Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump for the past 3 years, and there's still a year to go. So like, and it's only going to get more, especially as we ramp up to the election again. Like, it's a lot of content.
Oh. In Canada, before there's an election, they're only allowed to, I don't know, promote themselves for a certain amount of weeks beforehand to keep elections real short, and it's really great.
That's kind of awesome, I think, because then you're not like spending the entire year or like 4 years just like tooting your own horn and like advertising.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Sorry, I was going to say their election process works a little differently because someone can call an election, which is what often happens. So they'll be like, okay, there's going to be an election. And then it happens within like a month or so.
Oh.
So often there's not enough time for people to really go rampant anyway.
There's term limits though, right? Like at some point in the future, Justin Trudeau will reach the end of his term and then there will be, by necessity, an election.
I don't know if there are, actually. That's a good question. I think most people have bowed out, but I guess there must be a limit. Actually, I don't know if that's true, because I feel like I was talking to someone and I was like, oh, well, we have a term limit. And they were like, that's weird.
Well, Chris, the part you're missing is that it's a civilized society, Canada, so that people will make decisions in the best interest of the entire populace,
this
not
is true.
Just themselves. So,
I will grant that for Canada. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that much of Canada's government system is modeled after the UK's government system, which is not a civilized society. Have you seen Parliament? Have you watched videos of Parliament?
It's gotten a bit nutty.
Not. This is not civilized.
I love that we said we don't discuss politics.
And we don't discuss current events. Yeah.
I live in a swing state, which sucks because I don't watch very much. Yes, does it suck
more or less than living in a state that is like diametrically the opposite of your political beliefs?
Yeah, probably less. But I'm going to complain anyway. As I sit on my porch in the middle of January with, like, you know, $1,000 of computing power sitting in my lap.
Yeah, that's totally like, fair. That's totally a fair complaint. We've got snow outside. Yeah. It's you know, 30 degrees, and it's a red state. Right. Totally fair for you to complain, Gary. Go on.
Oh no, I was just saying. Like, I wanted to set the groundwork to understand how useless this complaint is before I put it out there. So let me put it out there. I don't watch a lot of television. Like, you know, it's we stream stuff or we just don't watch TV. But I am interested in football, and so this past weekend in football was the playoffs, which meant I had to watch like live television. And holy cow, a lot of commercial breaks in football. I was not surprised about that. I was surprised at how much every commercial break was filled with people campaigning for whatever they're running for. So that was it. Can't wait for my mailbox to be full of stuff.
Little known fact, I used to think it was called a swing state because it just looked kind of like a swinging thing geographically on the map when I was little. That's why I didn't think, like, other states didn't make sense when they were also referred to as a swing state. Like,
how can Ohio be a swing state? That's ridiculous.
I was like, it doesn't really.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a reach.
Probably a better definition of swing state than the actual definition of swing state, though.
I think that was my level of whimsy when I was little.
Can you hear that jet engine overhead?
A little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a recent addition. I'm not sure what it is, but it's very high, and about twice a day, heading from west to east. Something flies overhead that does that now.
Change the flight patterns, maybe.
I think it's more nefarious than that.
I was going to say like troops movement.
I'm thinking more like mapping planes, spy planes.
Wow. That is nefarious.
Because, when I was probably going into eighth grade, I guess we moved into South San Francisco, and they had just barely signed sort of an ordinance, I guess, in the city to allow SFO, which is basically in South San Francisco, even though it's called the San Francisco International Airport, it's basically in South San Francisco. They had signed an ordinance to allow them to change their flight pattern so they would fly directly above our house, like all their flights. So because they were doing this, the compensation that they gave the residents is the city would go through and pay for like double paint, like new windows for everyone, that like soundproof windows, which were completely not soundproof. But helped, I guess. But there was a couple months, especially in the first couple months we were living there, where we didn't have, they hadn't come in and changed the windows. And so we had single pane glass, and it was pretty loud. It did kind of feel like the airplane was like inside the house. And then like, you know, I would say like a month, maybe even just like a week before they installed the windows, you stopped noticing it anyway. Like you don't even hear them, like after living there, like you don't even, like my parents, like the airplane will go overhead now and they don't notice. I hardly notice it when I'm over there.
It's interesting that they offered up. I mean, like, it's nice, I guess, the gesture of being like, well, try to fix this and make it better for you. But also,
I think people complained. I think that was the only way that people would sign off on it.
Yeah.
Is because people were like, what? No, there's no way I'm going to approve that. And they're like, well, we'll give you new windows. And like, okay, fine.
I guess that's what.
Yeah. If you're going to do stuff on my house, then I guess I'll, you know.
It's interesting what you can get used to as a person though. Cause like the house I grew up in was next to train tracks. And like, it doesn't faze me at all. And like, but people would come over and then the train would go by and they'd just be like, oh, what's that? And you're just like,
also lived by train tracks. The apartment I lived in with my dad, prior to that, actually probably two apartments prior or two residences prior, was like literally down, like you could see the train tracks from outside the apartment. It was like right there. And yeah, same thing, like train would go by and like for a while, like you totally like, it freaks you out and shakes everything, that like after a while, like you don't even hear the sound, anything.
Yeah.
We have so there's a couple refineries, like oil refineries, like up the street from where we live. And every day at 4 o'clock, they do like a last call sort of like tone. Like end of day, like alarm thing, and like
call, come get your last glass of oil.
and I always like, well, I mean, I guess not always, but you can like, you can hear, and it's weird because they do a tone and then they announce something over the speakers, and so all you can hear is but then sometimes they do that. They also do this a similar sort of alert when there's a problem. And so like if you hear that and you hear the voice at any time other than 4 o'clock, that means there's like something blew up or something. And like then you start to like worry, like what is going on? What are they pumping into the air now?
That would stress me out. I would just start worrying on their behalf and then being like, I'm close. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's another reason why I want to move to Canada.
Yeah.
Not that they don't have oil refineries in Canada.
But I know. Like, I was going to say, I was just like, we've got our own pipeline issues.
Yeah, it's fair.
I think the only thing I've gotten used to is the buzzing power lines behind my house.
That, see, I think that would be weird. But at the same time, I'm like, I've gotten used to train tracks. Like, why wouldn't?
Yeah, so, it has to be really humid for them to buzz audibly to me any longer.
Is it just like a loud cicada?
Yeah, no. I was just going to say.
Cicada?
Yeah, got it. Cicada.
Let's call the whole thing off.
I was just gonna say cicadas because every time I watch any sort of like anime or Asian like TV show, like we've been watching this new Korean drama thing on Netflix called Cheese in the Trap, which is bizarre and like fascinating and really kind of disturbing. Anyway, we watch these things and I was noticing in a recent episode that you could hear the cicadas in the background, and like it's the sound that undertone is the undertone of like every anime and every Asian thing. That's like whenever they're outside, it's like it's omnipresent. And I had never noticed it in that show before, but like I've heard it so many times that like I don't even know if it's, I don't think it's a real sound. I think they add it. Like, I don't think they like pick it up on microphones, but like there's tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of material. And like, I don't know that like I notice it because we don't have cicadas, but I don't know that other people would notice noises like living within places where you would hear it all the time.
I just like the idea of like the person that sources all those sounds where they're like, all right, go out there. We need this.
Oh,
they're out there with their microphone.
I always wanted to be that person. Yes, I always wanted to be that. I feel like it would be like the most fascinating thing. I still want to get it.
It's like we need a creaky door and then footsteps walking away, and you're like,
we did. So when I was in college, I took a video production class, and we did a scene from The Big Lebowski, and we had to do our own Foley. So we did have. So I did do a. I recorded the Foley. Like we had a couple people doing the Foley, and I was like the video editor. So I was recording a lot of the Foley. So yeah, I assisted with some of that stuff. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, because you realize there are so many sounds that are like added in, I guess. We were like, oh no, we need the slurp to be louder, or like the gravel needs to crunch, or like
Yeah, when you watch a scene with no sounds, it's really, really weird.
You're like, boring.
Because there's that scene. So we did the scene where the dude comes home, and there's the two guys that are like waiting for him in his house that like tackle him and like flush his head down the toilet. That scene. So like there's the whole like tackling sound, and then there's a peeing on the carpet sound, and there's like there's the plunger sort of sound of the water in the toilet, and like yeah. we had to stage a toilet bowl for my face to go into. Like, I mean, we had the actual toilet where, like, you know, for the behind the head shots, but we had like staged something from underneath where, like, it looked like my head was like above the toilet. And we had to figure out like a way to make it look like someone was peeing on the carpet without actually, or peeing on the rug without actually, you know, peeing or, you know, putting, getting water or something on a rug. We filmed it in a frat house, actually. And there was
so
a real rug
would not have been in a place, actually, it turns out.
It's true, yeah. Okay, so confabulation, we have votes for it's a lie, or we have votes for it's just a lot of stuff. And we have reached the time where we should determine what it actually is.
Okay, well, it has two meanings.
One is a lie, and one is a lot of stuff.
Well, sort of. Anyway, the first meaning, like how I came across it, is in reference to a conversation. So if someone's confabulating over in a corner, they're like talking and blah, blah, whatever, chatting, gabbing. But then when I was looking it up to be like, oh, is that really what it means? It also means there's a psychiatric condition that's basically like a glitch in your memory where you make up a story of like an incorrect memory, but you actually believe it. So it often happens with people with dementia where they'll tell themselves a story and like it becomes true, the story. Because they're kind of embarrassed about like losing a gap of time or something. So they'll be like, no, I was at the store. And like, that's why like this chunk of time is gone or whatever. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting because I was using it for a conversational thing, but that's actually, yeah. So subtle alterations to bizarre fabrications. Anyway, and that's confabulation.
Well,
but in conversation, it's, yeah. In everyday speech, it's a conversation.
Have you ever thought, like, when we find out what the topic is from Allison, like, we need, like, a little audible, like, hook, you know? Like, there's, like, a sound we play or, like, a little...
Like a Foley effect, you think?
Well, no, because that would be, like,
it's just
the
sound
in support
of, you walking
of a visual
away.
And it's happening. Like, it would be just a... I don't know.
Like a ding.
Like a light bulb. What sound does a light bulb make?
Ping. Have you've both seen the movie Half-Baked, right?
Yes.
There's some weird Foley decisions in that movie.
There's a lot of weird decisions in general in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is to make it feel like you're high. Make it feel... Wait, what?
I don't even know if it was that conscious, though.
You're probably right. That it was just produced by someone that was very high, and that's it. Yeah.
I want to give them credit, but... Also,
no, you're most likely right. You're most likely right. There's a scene where he's feeding the horse popcorn, and there's a really weird click that just always. I mean, I've probably seen the movie four times in my life, so it's not like I watch it religiously. But
no, I have not watched Half Baked.
I wouldn't go out of my way.
That's a good description. I feel like if you didn't see it when you were a youth. don't worry about it if you've gotten this far.
yeah, you could. I mean, if you have nothing better to do, but I think you can find better things to do, Chris. I believe in you.
Maybe there are Allison questions left.
Flexbox course. There are Allison.
Okay, because I was banking on that. I didn't bring anything else to the table.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. I can ask questions.
What are your questions, Gary?
You can submit questions, Gary.
That's true. Anyone can submit questions. You just go to the website at binaryjazz.us and fill out the form at the bottom of the page or on the contact page. You can also contact us on Twitter at binaryjazz.
Ooh. Wow. That was
and
almost,
in fact, we prefer
like
listeners. We prefer listener questions over Allison questions.
It's true. The Allison questions are fun, though. But what are the Gary questions? I want to hear the Gary questions.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So, in your refrigerator, right? We tend to have a lot of condiments in the door, the refrigerator, one shelf specifically. When you run out of space on that shelf, do the condiments move to a non-door shelf, or do you force yourself to get rid of like the oldest one that you do not use?
I don't get rid of stuff. I mean, if we decide that we're never going to eat this thing ever again, then we might toss it. But most of the time it just goes to the next available door space. And if there's no available door spaces, it just goes somewhere in the fridge and probably gets shoved to the back.
Yeah. But I usually take that as a sign that I need to clean out the door of the fridge. So we'll kind of do a reevaluation. Because oftentimes it's like we've been gifted like a homemade jam or something. And
yeah,
we opened it and ate half of it and then have forgotten about it behind the hot sauces. And but that's yeah. not a specific example I'm bringing up for any particular reason.
Absolutely not. I think what you should do this to solve that problem is to combine the jam with the hot sauces.
Yeah.
And then it would be spicy jam. And then you could have that on, I don't know, something. Spicy cheese, what, probably.
Yeah.
What is an acceptable amount of mustards to own? How many?
Oh, that was an
One.
One? Oh, you don't like one. Mustard at all?
I mean, I get the kind that I like.
I would say more than four mustards. Because I feel like you have your regular yellow mustard, some sort of what is it, like the stone ground, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like
yep.
Some sort of like honey mustard for dressings. And
the solution to honey mustard is getting the mustard and getting the honey and combining them. You don't need a thing for that.
I feel like there's like a fourth one that I'm thinking of. Maybe a Dijon that's not stone ground.
Yes.
Anyway, and those are my mustards.
Yellow mustard is awful. And like the really.
But necessary.
No, not at all.
Sometimes yellow mustard is the right thing because it's like a timeless shirt, you know, like it's not a, you don't wear it all the time, but there are times when you need that particular flavor and there it is.
Nope.
Nothing else replaces it.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. The Dijon is fine. Dijon is fine for all purposes.
Dijon does not have the edge that a yellow does.
I don't,
you know,
I don't like,
you need that.
No.
Sometimes you need that.
You don't want that like vinegary or.
No.
So do you like pickles, Chris?
Sometimes.
What's your favorite pickled food?
Favorite pickled food? I don't know that I've had a ton of different types of pickled foods besides like pickles, pickled cucumbers.
Yeah.
There's something. Oh, no, but it's just still pickles.
Does something like kimchi count?
Yeah,
I would think
probably.
So. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of kimchi.
Do you eat sauerkraut, Chris?
Not really.
Sauerkraut is always on meat.
No, sauerkraut is great. Is it? I mean, just right out
well,
of
no,
the jar.
No, I agree. It's always, it's like fine by itself, but like it's always paired with some sort of meat, I find.
Hmm.
So the correct answer for the acceptable number of mustards is one.
Four. No, I think I love that house. It said four or more. Like the minimum is four. I like that because that is the exact number I have right now. And it feels like it's barely enough to meet my mustard needs.
Feels like confirmation. How many jars of pickles is too many?
I think too many jars of pickles would be too many.
Look at Chris's face right now. He's so upset.
Five does seem excessive, yeah. But I mean, I could definitely see the need to have five.
I could
minimum
see
would probably
have
be
two.
Three.
I feel like two. You have like sweet, you have your dill, maybe some sort of like specialty.
Yeah, maybe a third
pickle.
One where yeah, you get a like a, the spicy ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to say that you have to have the spicy pickle in there, right? Those are
or maybe just, it's like it comes down to different shapes where you have like sliced or whole or spears.
So that could be your fourth. That could be your fourth. Yeah.
Do you ever feel guilty about having like sliced and speared of the same kind of pickle? Like I could have solved for this by buying a whole pickle and then cutting it as needed. Like does it seem like a little bit wasteful?
I don't typically have pickles in the refrigerator, so
I never feel guilty about pickles.
Yeah, I haven't until we had this conversation and I thought about how many jars of pickles I've eaten where I could have just had one jar taking up space.
In fact, I better go to my fridge and there better be pickles after this because I'm gonna be very upset if there's not.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.